1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Israeli military says it has rescued one of the hostages, a man working as a guard on one of the kibbutzes that was attacked on October 7th.
The military says Kaid Farhan Al-Qadi was freed in what's described as a complex operation in the southern Gaza Strip. The 52-year-old was among some 250 abducted. It's thought Hamas is still holding around 110 hostages, but around a third of whom are believed to be dead.
ABC's Tom Rivers at the Foreign Desk. A judge in Texas has paused a Biden administration policy that would give the spouses of U.S. citizens a legal status without having to leave the country. Ukraine's army chief says his troops control nearly 500 square miles of Russian territory now. The Russian drone and missile attack targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure, however, goes on. Mark Zuckerberg telling Congress Facebook was pressured to take down some COVID-19 information during the pandemic. The White House says it acted responsibly during the pandemic. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Be careful outside again today. Excessive heat warnings and advisories are in effect for a second straight day. Corey Zeistra was helping her daughter move into her dorm at UW-Milwaukee yesterday morning.
I have to go to work after this, but I think that a stop home to wash off a little bit is going to be in order.
Wisconsin is dealing with the hottest temperatures of the summer, with a heat index above 105 degrees in parts of Milwaukee yesterday. A northern Wisconsin community is asking for state and federal help to negotiate road access with tribal officials. The Lac des Flambeaux tribe and the town of Lac des Flambeaux have been in talks for more than a year after the tribe cut off public access to roads on the reservation that lead to private homes. Tribal leaders want the town to pay easements that have been neglected for more than a decade. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX News, I'm James Kelly. A new memorial dog park is now open in the town of Campbell. According to a WXOW report, the Allison Renee and Bella Memorial Dog Park has been in the works for 2 years and is named after a woman and her dog who were killed in a domestic violence incident in 2022. The project was organized by a local Eagle Scout and named after Renee because of her love for helping animals. They said finding a location for the park was the biggest challenge, but now area dogs of all sizes have a new place to run and socialize. Habitat for Humanity will receive two parcels of land in La Crosse for the construction of new affordable housing units. According to a WKBT report, the parcels of land are located at 10th and Division Street and were originally purchased by 360 Real Estate Solutions from Mayo Clinic Health System in April. The housing units will be built and maintained by Habitat for Humanity, which expects to begin development on the site soon. A press release from 360 says the transfer shows their commitment to community development. And that's what you need to know. For WLCX News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers add a new quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers traded for Malik Willis, a third-year quarterback, for the Tennessee Titans. In return, the Titans get a seventh-round draft pick next year. Willis on mastering the progressions when learning a new NFL playbook in Green Bay.
You know, progressions are a part of quarterback play wherever you're at, so I just felt like you get to different ones at this level, and you with a new team and new people, so you just got to get used to it.
College football, the Badgers getting ready for their first game of the season Friday when they host Western Michigan. Luke Fickell on what they know about the Broncos.
We know as little as we ever have known, right? I mean, they got a new offensive coordinator, they got a new defensive coordinator, and they got a new special teams coordinator. So what do you know, right? Obviously, the head coach is an offensive guy. What the head coach has done, or is it more of the Walt Bell? And, you know, are they going to be the Louisiana Lafayette where the defensive coordinator came from? I mean, so there's a lot of unknowns. You know, even with transfers and things like that, there's still a lot of unknowns.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a heat advisory again today. It's going to be hot and humid, partly cloudy, 91 with a heat index of 100 to 105. We could catch an isolated shower or thunderstorm today as well. A couple of stronger storms are possible. Tomorrow will be better, partly cloudy, high of 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke. What's grinding his gears and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Eagle WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinaire on Air.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping.
Well, I know who that is. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music.
Well, the music's about the work. The work to be done for the next 74 days, 73. I don't know what the count is right now. But, you know, like Tim Walz is like to say, we can sleep when we're dead. There's work to be done.
It's 70 and some change. But anyway, Sandy, so over 200 former aides to prominent people on the right, to, you know, George Bush, Senator John McCain, Senator Mitt Romney, and even former President Donald Trump have come out in opposition to Donald Trump. These aren't Democrats. These are Republicans, strong, well-respected Republicans from the lineage of the Republican Party, Sandy, when many believe that it was at some of its strongest points. And now they are coming out in force and saying, we can't allow this man to be elected again.
Well, I think I think that it's certainly significant that a bunch of Republicans have done this. I think the most significant thing is that people who knew Donald Trump very well, who worked with him, or people who looked at what he did very carefully, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, the people who were on that January 6th committee, all of them came to the same conclusion about what it was that had happened on January 6th and how it was that Donald Trump had been involved with it. And people, Republicans who voted for his impeachment to be investigated about that. And then all of his cabinet members, I mean, most of the people who he appointed to his cabinet have come out against him now. And many of his highest aides, people who were his chief of staff, okay, his vice president, many people up close and personal knew who Donald Trump was. I think the compelling thing is that when this is presented to Donald Trump, he accuses those people of being traitors. Well, traitors are people who defy our Constitution. Traitors are people who come out and do things against our country. It isn't a traitor who comes out against an individual, all right, unless that individual thinks that he is the country, that he is more important than the country. And that, I think, is one of the most compelling things, telling things about the Trump reaction to this whole process. Because and I don't understand why his base isn't listening, except I think his base is ready to quickly take the view that these people are traitors, or that they have immediately identified themselves as being part of the deep state because of the fact that they have now come out against Donald Trump based on their experiences with Donald Trump.
You know, Sandy, it is, they look at him and all of those people who you just mentioned, powerful people in our government.
Well, his Secretary of State, his Secretary of Defense.
They ran the government.
Oh, they were in the most powerful positions in terms of the cabinet within the government. His chief of staff. And the cabinet officials have come out as a broader way than I just identified. And the revolving door that he had of people who were in and who either left on their own because they couldn't do it anymore or who were fired because they wouldn't do it anymore. So, I think that the American people should be looking at that and should be thinking about that very much more seriously than I think they might be.
Well, you know, when you see only this man and that I've got it, my job is to protect him. I guess the people who support him think that they have to protect him. It's almost like he's a member of their family. And so somebody's going after my family, and I'm going to protect them.
Maybe you mean his base is helicopter parenting Donald Trump? Kind of. Yes.
Well, yeah, Sandy.
Yeah.
They see him, and they see him, and they think the whole world is attacking him.
Well, that's an interesting concept. The notion that Donald Trump is a victim, when he spends his time attacking others and trying to victimize others. It's such a gaslighting phenomena that it's hard for me to figure out how it is ongoing and how it has taken a grip on so many people. But there are plenty of people who think that poor Donald Trump has had to swim upstream this entire time, that everyone was trying to get in his way all of the time, when the truth was that he was name-calling and trying to badger and hector people into adversarial roles, I think for the very purpose of setting himself up as being a poor, badgered person who was being persecuted by all those who were against him. And it's an unusual phenomenon, and it's a strategy that defies my imagination in terms of how it was that he divined it, but it seems to be something that he's conceptualized himself.
Well, you know, Sandy, the other part of it is he still projects himself to be the king and not that he was that before, but even if he makes it in the future, he clearly wants people to understand the buck stops with me. I'm the guy who's going to be running the show. Hey, the rest of the world, the rest of the nation, understand me, Donald J. Trump, Congress, Senate, I'm the guy.
Well, he said, I think I'm trying to remember what the issue was that was going to be unconstitutional. And he said, don't worry, we'll make it constitutional.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling, Sandy, that this can be even thought about, that it could possibly even be happening to the United States, right? I mean,
well,
you've seen government. Did you ever think that our nation could be in a situation like what we're presented with, that one guy?
Well, this isn't just one guy. It's a political movement. I mean, Project 2025 was put together by a broad coalition of conservative think tanks. And in Project 2025, one of the primary parts of Project 2025, the thrust of it is that they're going to enlarge the White House staff and make sure that all of the agencies are run much more directly, micromanaged much more directly by the White House, and that all rules and actions by the executive branch would be subject to the direct control of the president, and he would be put in a position to exercise that control over the FBI, over the Department of Justice, over the EPA, over every agency, and that all rules that would be promulgated would be run through the White House. And so, you know, this is not just Donald Trump's idea. And however, Donald Trump is someone who I think would savor that kind of power. But I think anyone who wants to create that kind of power in the White House, in the executive, in the president, is going to have to contend with that kind of power residing in the other party as well. And also is going to have to be, the country is going to have to get used to the pendulum swinging back and forth with respect to policies that are in, that are implemented by our government. And the rest of the world is going to have to get used to it. And it's not going to, it's going to be a rocky road. It's going to be a volatile, rocky road.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. Anytime, anywhere, Sandy. so Calvin Camp.
Okay, John Wayne.
Here's the thing. Yesterday couldn't be more clear. The optics of each administration. President Biden, who's been in hiding, goes on vacation. President Trump goes to Arlington and honors the 13 Gold Stars families that Biden presided over Afghanistan. He doesn't even acknowledge the 13 soldiers. That's what it's all about.
So Donald Trump, for photo op, goes to Arlington.
Where was he in Normandy? You know, I mean, we should talking about these are ceremonial things. And Biden did, in fact, do something yesterday, and so did Kamala Harris. And so, you know, I don't know. If you want to rest on symbolism, that's fine. But I think we should all get back to substance.
Well, he's a one hit wonder, you know. And so, you know, CJ, you're a one hit wonder. And so, you know, that's about it. You know, the issue is the fact that over 200 of Republicans have chosen to say not Donald Trump, prominent, including those who were in his own cabinet. No, don't vote for this guy. He's dangerous. That didn't come from Democrats. That didn't come from Republicans. And those people who spoke yesterday, who put that letter out, did not say anything about Arlington and Trump going to do what he does, symbolism. What's your thought about the 200 or more prominent Republicans who say, no, Donald Trump should never inhabit the White House ever again? Not Democrats, not Sandy and Earl, but prominent Republicans.
Well, I know there's millions of us who want to go back to low inflation, the cost of housing. You guys can deflect all you want.
Hey, CJ. CJ, you're the guy who deflects.
Well, let me just go through, because the low inflation thing has comes up over and over again. Well, and so Donald Trump has announced some policy. Stay on the line, CJ. Yeah. We can talk about this after the break.
Hold the thought. 844-967-2789. It almost appears as if Sandy is ready any place, any time. I think Sandy has chosen the place and the time. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Ball.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Sandy, as I live and breathe.
Michael Jackson.
Welcome back.
Well, he's talking about working day and night. I'm not sure it's campaigning, but...
Welcome back to the Earl Ingers Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music man.
Yeah, it's about working. It's about the work that's left in the 70-odd days to election. And so all my songs relate to working.
And you got some work to do. You had some things you wanted to say to...
CJ, you know, while you're still on. You mentioned inflation. You do that repeatedly. Also, you mentioned last time you called, you mentioned the corporate tax rate as being a sign of how far left Kamala is. The 28% corporate tax rate she's talking about would be the lowest tax rate for the corporate tax in America, other than the 21% that's now in place. The corporate tax rate was always above 34%. Sometimes 39 or 40 or over 40% at the margin in the prior periods of our American history. All right. And so we haven't had a mass out migration of corporations from this country. And 28% is not going to create that either. But so I'm just saying that 28% is a moderate level. OK, in terms of our history or in terms of the current situation. You talk about Donald Trump and how it is that you want to return back to a time when there's less inflation. The only policies that I've seen that Donald Trump has talked about with respect to fiscal policy and financial policy, all of them are inflationary. Tariffs, implementing higher tariffs than are currently in place, is an inflationary move. It inflates the price of all goods. It is clearly inflationary. Reducing taxes by $5 trillion over 10 years without reducing expenditures by more than $5 trillion, is inflationary. He didn't reduce expenditures for the last tax reduction, and it was inflationary. Taking over the Federal Reserve and taking control of the interest rate is going to be inflationary. Everybody in the finance community believes that because they understand that politicians will never raise the interest rate to fight inflation. They'll only lower the interest rate to fuel the economy. So Donald Trump doesn't have any policies that he's announced that will fight inflation, and the only policies that he's announced are highly inflationary. So I don't understand anyone talking today about returning Donald Trump to office because they want to make sure we don't have inflation. Donald Trump inherited an economy that had no inflation in it, all right? And his term in office ended with the near recession caused by the pandemic, okay? So that was a year that was subject to the pandemic. And coming into office, he received an economy that had essentially zero inflation ongoing. The pandemic helped drive the price of oil down, which everyone wants to point to. It also destroyed many jobs, okay? And by the time the end of Trump's term in office, there was 14% unemployment. But when you adjust for the unemployment bump that was caused by the pandemic, take it out of Donald Trump's period, and if you put those jobs back into the Biden period to take that bump out, Joe Biden produced more jobs by a long shot than Donald Trump.
All right, CJ, you can respond.
Well, I'll admit it. Your party have monopolized symbolism because there's really no substance. We don't know any of Kamala's policies because she's flip-flopping them. You know,
if we're going to have a debate, you should at least respond to the question that you brought up about inflation. Why is it that you believe that Donald Trump's announced policies are going to reduce inflation when all of his announced policies are inflationary?
You made a statement. I'm responding. What is the world's corporate tax rate? What's the average world's corporate tax rate?
Well, wait a minute. We can't really talk about world tax rates. We don't have a VAT tax.
So we've got plenty of callers on the line. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Stephen from Exonia. Good morning to you, Stephen. You say what?
Good morning. A lot of people probably didn't notice, but the gravestone next to the one that Trump did his photo op at was from a soldier who died when Trump was in office. That soldier was not greeted when he returned in his casket. Trump did not do that. Also, the soldier was from Panama, graduated high school in the U.S., started as an enlisted man, moved up to officer, was a Marine for years, and died fighting ISIS in a cave in Iraq. Nobody goes to the three-year anniversary. No other president has ever gone to a three-year anniversary of a death. So this was totally a stunt by Trump. And just looking in the same picture that he's using, you can see the lie that he just endlessly gives out.
Hey, Stephen, thank you very much for the information. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, first of all, I'd like to make a correction, because if Donald Trump wins again, God help us if he does, he's not going to be the one in power. He's going to be the conduit from which the power goes through, because he's too freaking stupid to do anything. It's the Project 2025 and whoever's behind that. That's going to bring this power forward. And my concern, which I've been talking about the last couple of days, is the Electoral College, because we know how this happened with Hillary. She won the popular vote, but the criminal won the electoral vote. And I'm terrified that that's going to happen again.
Cindy, we're going to be talking about that and, certifying the election the next segment. So you're absolutely correct about that. Brenda, we want to squeeze you in again. You want to say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to say to Cindy, one, real quick, they already have attorneys in position for when they start to try to not certify electional counts in certain areas. And CJ, you should be ashamed of yourself. That clown sat over a dead Marine's a burial ground, and there's a rule at Arlington that you're not supposed to use it for photo ops. He sat there with his thumb up and a smile on his face over a dead Marine's casket. So, CJ, stop preaching to us about your proper orange clown. He's a clown.
Brendan, tell us how you really feel. 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the phone lines, guys. We'll be right back.
Not
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Republican presidential ticket is campaigning in Wisconsin this week. Running mate J.D. Vance will speak in De Pere tomorrow. Donald Trump will hold a town hall in La Crosse Thursday night. The latest Marquette poll shows the race for Wisconsin's presidential votes in a virtual tie. The federal government is considering new regulations on waste from slaughterhouses for the first time since the mid-1970s. John Rumpler of Environment America says it would be long overdue.
Slaughterhouses, the places where a lot of these animals are brought, release a huge amount of nitrogen and or phosphorus into our waterways.
The Environmental Protection Agency says slaughterhouses and large factory farms are driving a spike in harmful algae blooms. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX News, I'm James Kelly. The man charged with shooting and killing an Ettrick man during a road rage incident will be heading to trial. According to a WXOW report, Todd Geek appeared in Trempealeau County Circuit Court for an evidentiary hearing on Monday, during which Judge Thomas Clark determined there was enough evidence to go to trial. Geek was charged with first-degree reckless homicide in the May death of Kyle Dahl and entered a not guilty plea to the charges. He is scheduled to appear in court again in October and has a $1.5 million bond. About a week after its official completion, Mayo Clinic Health Systems held its first open house at their new hospital. According to a WXOW report, the $215 million facility had been under construction for about 2.5 years, so residents were eager to get a look inside. Officials plan to open the hospital in September. They also say the new hospital is a message to the community that Mayo Clinic is there to stay, a needed message following abrupt hospital closures in western Wisconsin earlier this year. And that's what you need to know. For WLCX News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. We've come a long way since Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore were forbidden to be seen in the same bed on The Dick Van Dyke Show. These days on cable TV, F-bombs drop, heads are blown off, and there are naked bodies aplenty. Not sure which era is better. But did you know that even the wholesome 1950s sitcom Leave It to Beaver battled network censors? And it had nothing to do with the title character's name. According to Cracked.com, an early episode of the show had Wally and the Beave get a pet alligator they wanted to keep in the toilet. The network said absolutely not, because showing toilets on network television in 1957 was an absolute not happening. Coincidentally, on that same episode, Wally and the Beave, love saying that, try to get their pet alligator to drink their dad's brandy. Then they drink some themselves, making the beaver day drunk. The network had no problem with that. It was the household item people do disgusting things to every day that they took issue with, even if they put the seat down when they were done. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a heat advisory again today. It's going to be hot and humid, partly cloudy, 91 with a heat index of 100 to 105. We could catch an isolated shower or thunderstorm today as well. A couple of stronger storms are possible. Tomorrow will be better, partly cloudy, high of 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, a woman who spoke at the Democratic convention talks about the progress finally being made to remove lead water pipes in Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy the Music.
Ask about working, banging on the drum all day, working for the next 70-plus days. But that song always makes me think of Lambeau Field. They always play.
Oh, yeah. Jump Around.
No. This is Lambeau Field.
Yeah. Oh, they played it at the Packers as well.
Yeah.
So Sandy from Appleton is worried, as many others are worried, about the Electoral College. You and I had a conversation earlier about the fact that the Republicans are trying to put in place people who will not certify the election at different levels. And this is really taking place, and it's being ramped up throughout this nation. Should people be worried about that?
Yeah, people should be worried. There was a presentation yesterday discussing what's gone on in Georgia, where the election commissions are run on a different basis. They don't get elected broadly, and they've installed a much more partisan electoral commission in Georgia. One individual left, was replaced by a staunch Trumpite. I think the number of Trump accolades around the country in the election process has grown significantly. It's been a clear strategy of the MAGA Republicans to install around the country MAGA loyalists into positions of regulation, the positions which regulate the electoral processes in various states. And, if they had done this prior to the last election, then Trump's efforts to have the elections tilted in his direction after the fact might well have happened, okay? So we have to worry about this, because what happened last time was there were a number of people in a number of states who stood up and said, no, okay, I'm not going to do that. That happened in Georgia. It happened in Arizona. It happened in a variety of states. And if there's no one this next time around who stands up and says no, we could well have a serious constitutional crisis.
Now, so after Colorado's election for local offices this past November, a state Republican Party official sent out a notice to local board members saying they should not vote. Saying they should vote against certifying the results. Nothing has changed since the 2020 elections, wrote Ron Hanks, who leads the Colorado GOP's Election Integrity Unit. He called the state a playground for election manipulators and alleged systematic fraud without proving evidence. Republicans on five local canvassing boards subsequently voted against certifying their results, even though other board members outweighed the no votes. Hanks, a former state Republican who later lost his bid for a seat in Congress, laid out their real purpose. Sandy, if this is replicated across the nation, what is the answer to this? It can stop the results from moving forward. How long can they retard that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the fact is that states. It is up to states to figure out how they want to handle their elections under the Constitution. And so I think the MAGA Republicans have figured this out and have figured out that they have an easier time jiggering with the state election processes than they do the federal certification process. So they're going to try and go upstream from the certification that occurs last go around on January 6th. They want to handle it at the state level and make sure that the electors who get sent to Washington are the ones that they want to have sent to Washington based on the electoral processes within the states. The states all have different electoral processes. I can't speak to exactly how it works, but clearly what their strategy is now at the state level to have an impact on the electoral process within the state that chooses the electors that then go to Washington and vote in the Electoral College.
So does it push this thing into the courts? I mean, it can't possibly overturn the results. It can what at best just retard it or hold it in abeyance?
Well, it would have to the courts would end up having to be the state courts to decide how the state had handled their electoral processes and whether they handled it according to the state laws and the state constitution. And so because the federal government and the Supreme Court has already spoken that it's basically up to the states unless they do something that's invidiously violative of the federal constitution in terms of equal protection or what have you. And so, I think it's possible the strategy could actually upset the election and come up with an opposite result than the head count might have otherwise dictated, depending on just exactly how the strategy plays out in all these various states. It probably only has to be played out in the 6 or 7 right. battleground states. The other states will all be relatively clear-cut, not an issue in terms of having some dicey process to choose the electors.
So did the Supreme Court make a mistake in not, well, I guess they can't jump the gun. They can't assume that the states are going to do something egregious, right? I mean, they have to wait until it happens.
Well, the Supreme Court, in cases before this last go-around, had decided that basically it's up to the states to figure out how they elect their senators and how they elect their presidential electors. And it is possible that a state could decide that the legislature itself would pick the electors if they could amend their constitution or laws to support that. So I think we've all become used to a process that was relatively uniform across the country. I think what's happening is that some willful political sorts are trying to figure out how they can game that system and game it to their advantage.
Yeah, but that then, Sandy, you know, jeopardizes everything that the nation is supposed to stand for. If they can somehow mislead the American people, again, this is what they're saying, that our system is rigged. This is what they mean by it being rigged.
Well, you know, rigging is in the eyes of the beholder. It seems to me that what's happening is they're trying to rig the system.
Yes, that's
okay. But you know, that would be falling prey to the notion of attacking the solidity, the sanctity of our electoral process. And by attacking it, you put everything into doubt. That's a primary strategy, has been for Donald Trump since before 2016. When he ran for the first time in 2016, he was already talking about how he might not recognize the outcome of the election if he lost. And this is a ready strategy, and it's a strategy I can understand why the Republicans would come up with it, because they haven't won the plurality in the country for 24 years. And they're probably moving in the direction of not winning pluralities in a larger number of states. So the question is, how can they hold on to power when they can't hold on to the plurality? And that's what we're seeing happening right now, is a strategy that's an effort to try and do that, to either suppress the plurality of votes so that they continue to win a majority of those who do vote, or other means to control the outcome of the election.
So what people should really understand, Sandy, Democrats and Republicans, that these people are willing to throw all of this, our system, into the trash heaps of history, because they are not getting their way.
Well, our system, according to the founders, had this ambiguity, and the Electoral College was part of this process of trying to create a dynamic tension between a plurality headcount and property ownership or land or, you know, something else, all right? So the U.S. Senate is a vestige of that. Every state has 2 senators, regardless of population. That transfers into something much different than one man, one vote in the Senate, okay? The House of Representatives is different. The House of Representatives is much more like one man, one vote, depending on how the districts for the congressional districts are drawn. But that's based on a plurality. The presidential contest is a hybrid of the two because of the Electoral College, which is a hybrid.
So I'm hearing you say there's a gray area from the time that the founding fathers put this thing together, and Republicans are doing everything they can to dig in that gray area.
Yeah, they're absolutely. They're going back to the debate that surrounded the founding of the country and they're coming down on the side of those who favored the Senate concept rather than the House of Representatives concept. You know, there are differences in different states as to how the Electoral College votes of the state are allocated, so that I think Maine allocates it by congressional districts. If the whole country allocated them by congressional districts, we'd have a different outcome in the election that might actually favor the Republicans because of the way they've drawn congressional lines. The gerrymandering of congressional lines would then become a much more important issue with respect to the presidential election.
So what does that do then to one man, one vote?
Well, one man,
which
one,
is pretty simplistic.
It's a simplistic concept, yeah. which doesn't really work. All right. It's not quite what we have in America, because the Electoral College means we don't have one man, one vote. The U.S. Senate means we don't have one man, one vote in the votes in the Senate. We do have one man, one vote in the votes in any particular place where there are votes, right? So that's the concept. Each person gets a vote in the game in which they're voting. So is it the California Senate contest? They each get a vote. But the U.S. senator elected from California has a very diluted power, because 35 million Californians vote for whatever the number of millions of Californians right. are, vote for two senators, just like the two senators in Wyoming who are voted upon by fewer than a million people.
So, Sandy, so we come to a point then where, you know, as we approach this time and people clearly as motivated as they have been for any election that I can recall almost in my lifetime. Is it safe to say that this...
Well, it seems as if they're highly motivated, and turnout's going to be very important. And what people can't fall into is a belief that the poll that shows Kamala Harris being ahead by seven points, that would be in a national plurality contest. We don't have a national plurality contest. We have an electoral college concept. And that's why these swing states become much more important. And none of the swing states are the biggest states by population in the country. Pennsylvania comes the closest, but it's not, by a long shot, the biggest population state in the country. It all has to do with essentially getting the Electoral College votes necessary. And so you have to look at each of the states state by state to figure out who's going to win those states and what the Electoral College vote outcome ends up being.
So why do those six or seven states, why are they called the swing states? What is it so special about these states?
Well, because they're purple, because they have the potential to be either Republican or Democrat, so that they are a contest state. Most of the states in the country are not contest states. Most of them can be predicted very handily up front. Now, last go around, at one of the states that wasn't known to be a swing state became one, Georgia, okay, and Nevada. Both of those states are now talked about as swing states. They didn't used to be. So the number of swing states might be going up as the contests become closer within the states with respect to the party's grip on a particular state.
And any particular reason why the majority of the swing states are in the Midwest? Your idea?
You know, I don't know, but it's true that they are. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. They are, and it probably has to do with the demographics, the urban-rural demographics of the states, where the balance between urban and rural might be a little more. It's not that it's balanced in the rural direction, but the rural side has a larger sway.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. How we think about money can affect how we feel about ourselves. which is why I think it's worth reminding all of us that your net worth is not your self-worth. Your net worth, however much money you do or don't have, is not your self-worth. Money is not something to be worshipped, regardless of what the internet or social media tells us. And money is not something to be ignored. I mean, I've been there. I've not paid attention to my money. And let me tell you, that doesn't help either. Money is a tool. You can learn how to use it, how to make it work for you, how to take care of it, and how not to let it control your head or your heart through obsession or worry. We can all be good at managing our money. If I can do it, anyone can do it. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. So, Sandy, I was reading this morning as I was preparing for the show. Russia really just kind of, all over Ukraine, really just devastated them with a tremendous onslaught of rockets and drones, and man, just, you know, and yet, you know, Ukraine is asking America, will you allow us to penetrate Russia even more? It seems nonsensical, Sandy, that this can continue to move forward where they're almost going back to the winter's coming, and that, you know,
that sounded like Game of Thrones.
Where they're frozen into place again.
I mean, well, you know, the fact is, I think they have each other by the neck. I don't think Russia thought this was going to be what the case when they started the invasion 2.5 years ago, almost closer to 3 years.
Right.
Because I think they thought it was going to be quick and easy, and it wasn't quick and easy. And so now Russia's pregnant in a war, and the war has a projected requirement on their side, which is to obtain the Donbass and to secure official recognition of their hold on Crimea. And meanwhile, Ukraine is saying no over our dead bodies, and there are plenty of those dead bodies
right
now. But with the help of the West and the armaments from the West, they've been able to hold Russia off. Now Russia's moving in the direction of securing the whole Donbass right now. And so Ukraine started this intrusion into Russia, which was obviously going to result in some massive Russian response. And it's probably easier for Russia to fire salvos into Ukraine than it is to amass the ground troops and suffer the casualties that they'd suffer with an immediate reaction with troops against the incursion into Russia. But you can rest assured that there will ultimately be that battle on the ground. But meanwhile, this is all really about creating leverage towards negotiation for a peace, because the only way there's going to be a peace is through a negotiated peace. There isn't going to be a capitulation by Russia in which they withdraw their troops, and it appears that Ukraine is not going to capitulate easily to give Russia all of the Donbass and all of Crimea and all that Russia wants. So right now we're in this battle in which they've got each other by the neck, and they're each squeezing, not hard enough to kill the other guy, but make their eyes bulge, you know? and so that's what it's horrible to watch from the outside. I'm quite confident that Washington will continue to be firm about not allowing American missiles, for instance, to be used for deeper intrusions into Russia, because at some point it will be, you know, if it becomes a missile war and Ukraine is simply a base for a lot of missiles that are U.S. missiles being fired into Russia, Russia will then believe that they're at war directly with the United States. So that's the problem with missile warfare. It's not constrained by manpower. It's only constrained by the number of missiles you have. And so I'm pretty sure that the United States understands that. and will continue to restrict Ukraine's access to a particular to the particular kinds of missiles that can only venture into Russia far enough to be defensive actions and not offensive.
You know, Sandy, I will say to you that this is into the third year. This is, you know, 3 year wars. Come on. How long did World War II last?
Well, it lasted 6 years for some people.
And World War One, they did
four years for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, those were long wars. The Korean War was in the neighborhood of 3 years, and that seemed like a long war. So
right.
This is 3 years is a long time to be, and particularly the kind of land war that's being fought by artillery and troops with many, many casualties on both sides, Ukraine and Russia. So, you know, it can't go on forever. And then the question is, how does it end? And what's the end game? And what role does the United States play in achieving an end game? And so that's where it gets more complicated, because the United States is and the West is basically providing Ukraine with the wherewithal to resist. And then the question is, how much pressure will the West put on Ukraine with respect to whatever kind of negotiating positions Ukraine might take?
All right, Chad from Greenfield. Good morning to you, Chad. You say what?
Hey, good morning, guys. Sandy, I remember you always talking about how you want to hear about the issues. Now we're on like day 40 almost, and Kamala still won't give a press conference. She still won't give an interview, and you see Vance doing all this stuff and saying his policies. Now, when Kamala goes to Nevada, all of a sudden she says, oh, I want taxes on tips. Well, that's a Trump policy. She's trying to, you know, use people in a swing state. She goes there as Pennsylvania now. She's like, well, I'm not going to ban fracking. Well, there's tons of videos of her banning fracking, but now she's going to try it because she knows Pennsylvania is do or die. And now she's by Arizona, and she says she's going to build a wall. I mean, who honestly believes any of this nonsense she spews? She's stealing President Trump's policy.
Well, wait a minute. Who believes which candidate? I mean, we don't want to get into who believes which candidate's question, do we? Because, I mean, Donald Trump isn't necessarily the source of sound and reliable words. You know, I don't quite understand attacking someone for adopting a policy that you want to see implemented. If you want to see it implemented, I should think you'd be glad that a candidate sees it that way. Candidates are running for office. Candidates are trying to judge what the will of the people is, and they're trying to provide the will of the people what they want. And so, you know, do I agree that not having taxes on tips is a good idea? No, I don't think it's a good idea. But apparently two candidates do, so that won't be the subject of debate.
Well, Chad, how can you call Kamala Harris a liar? What do you think Donald Trump is?
I'll be more than happy to say it, because Donald Trump will give his position on things and he stands by.
Wait a minute. Give his position on things. Really?
Hey, Chad.
Which positions are that he's running for office on now? On the higher tariffs? The tax cut? If you want us to believe, though, taking over the Federal Reserve, if you want us to believe those things, then do you think those are good ideas?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll go position by position on Donald Trump. I know we're running out of time, but at least the man stands for what he says. Kamala, she'll flip-flop. First of all, she won't even give an interview to defend her positions. But when she's in Nevada, okay, we're not going to tax tips. Well, in Pennsylvania, there's videos of her. We're banning fracking. There's videos of her. The wall's the most un-American thing.
Chad. Call earlier the next time. All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, as always, Sandy. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Greg Bach sitting in for Jane Metnair. Metnair on air. Hey, stay cool. See you later.
Eagle 1490 AM. Crude and Dom.
Join us as the Devils reunite. Crudy is excited because he's been credentialed for the Donald Trump Town Hall in the Cross coming up on Thursday. Be here for the greatest radio show ever.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring
former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.